Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the How to Stay the Coronavirus Plague Christian Briefing, if you will, podcast episode number 8. My name is Daniel White III. This is a live recording of this podcast. We normally don't do this because I think there's great value in just the audio podcast alone. I'm not big on video podcasting. I'm the president of Gospel Light Society International. Please listen to these words from Deuteronomy chapter 29. Verses 22 and 23. The Word of God says, so that the generation to come of your children that shall rise up after you, and the stranger that shall come from a far land, shall say when they see the plagues of that land and the sicknesses which the Lord hath laid upon it. And that's what the world is seeing tonight on America. The world is shocked at what is happening to America tonight. The great America, with all of our ingenuity, all of our education, all of our money, all of our great power, tonight is being decimated by what some call an invisible enemy. And I believe it is a plague of biblical proportions. And I have said this before, and I'm going to say it to you again. You must understand that if the plague wants to get you, it will get you. Even Dr. Fauci, who I think is doing a great job, because he's trying to be honest, said that you can have all your plans all you want to and your dates set up that you want this to end, but the virus will determine the ending of this. I would say it differently. The plague, or God, will determine the end of the plague. The verse continues, and that the whole land thereof is brimstone and salt and burning, that it is not sown, nor beareth, nor any grass groweth thereon, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not as optimistic as I am. I am not as optimistic as some of the happy talk people we see on TV. And bless their hearts, they're doing the best they can in their situation, I'm sure. But America is far worse than Sodom and Gomorrah, because the church has had a hand, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, or the church in general, has had a hand in promoting homosexuality, homosexual marriage, and the homosexual agenda. And this is a problem. See, when sin gets so bad, it turns into abominations being done. That's when God has to step in, see. sin has a way to metastasize and to get worse and worse. God is stepping in because he loves us. And if we confess our sins and repent in the church and put our foot down on the government and tell the presidents, President Obama and President Trump, no, it's not all right for a homosexual man married to a man to run for the presidency of the United States. Have you lost your mind? No, it is not all right for a man to be kissing a man on television, or a woman kissing a woman on television, much less a homosexual man kissing another homosexual man, both ugly, hairy, stanky, in front of the whole world, talking about, this is my first gentleman and I'm running for president of the United States, with a smile. Every last one of you who think that's all right, you've lost your mind. You've lost, in the words of Denzel Washington in that movie, you've lost your righteous mind. And I don't care if you like it. YouTube is mad at me right now. They're cutting off my videos, dropping my videos, and so forth. That's okay. God knoweth. I'm right about it. Some of you people getting ready to watch a homosexual married to a man right now have a concert in his house, and his little children, their little adopted children, they're not theirs, they're adopted children. Some of you getting ready to watch it right now. And ain't nobody mad at Elton John. He has written and sung some of the greatest songs in pop culture and in the world. But what he is doing is going to damn his soul to hell, along with his partner. And may God help the children. May God help the children. But the church has accepted it. And that's the reason why President Obama did what he did, because he had people around him, preachers, that he had convinced to believe this lie. And that's why when you see Obama, he looks all drawn up. We don't hear nothing from him. He is the weakest past president I've ever seen. No legacy, the legacy completely destroyed. Powerless. A man who should have a say in this country, we hardly hear from him. Because he knows he did wrong. His dad knew he did wrong. His dad turned over in his grave, because we're not like that over in Africa. We don't roll like that. We don't know where you got that. I know where you got it from. And the pastors around him went along with it, didn't protest. All of his counselors, black and white, and we got some doing the same thing with President Trump. It's amazing how these people get so enamored with these presidents. What is it? You're supposed to be a prophet and tell the president, out of love, Mr. President, thou art the man. You can't do this. You're going to mess your presidency up, your legacy up, and this country. I mean, that's what has happened. All of the money that President Trump gained for the nation is gone. And now we're in more debt. Because we have a president who foolishly says, oh, it's all right for a man who's a homosexual married to a man no boyfriend, married to a man to run for the presidency of the United States, the highest office of the land. That's what he said. They're going to hire another openly homosexual man over the most important department in the government. Sodom and Gomorrah. Because what he does not understand is what preachers have not told him. You sow something over here, you're going to reap it over here. It may take a little while, but it's going to grow up on you. And so it may be politically expedient over here for you, but it's going to mess everybody's children up and grandchildren up over here. Because now people can't say anything about a homosexual. You can go to court if you don't call a man by his chosen female name, and he looks like a man, walks like a man, acts like a man, big old man, but he wants to be called Kenesha. His real name is Kevin. And if you have the audacity to call him Kevin, he's going to take you to court because you refused to call him by his chosen name, which is not on his birth certificate. And you think I'm crazy? What? Some of you right now, you think, I see you're just going too far. It's all right for them to call themselves what they want to call. And you just go ahead all along with it and show respect for the crazy people, and just call them by their name they want to be called by. Have you lost your mind? That's the country that President Obama left us. And that's the country President Trump is perpetuating and moving on along, carrying on with his foolishness. Then turn over everything. I don't give a flip about Obamacare. I don't even know how it works. I know I can't get it, whatever it is. And I can't even afford that. Whatever Obamacare is, I can't even afford it myself. So thank God I'm a veteran. And thank you, Mr. President, for what you've done for the veterans. You have helped me tremendously. You've done many great things, Mr. Trump, Mr. President. Yes, you have. And you turned over everything that Obama ever did. You just completely erased his legacy. But you didn't touch the worst thing he did. And even though many Democrat black folk still love him because he was at least got some black blood running through his veins, that means a lot to some black folk. I believe that he's a traitor. He was a traitor. He's a Judas to God, a Judas to Jesus, and a Judas to black folk. He helped the people committing abominations, the homosexuals, the lesbians. God help us. More than he helped his own people. And all the black folk know it, but yet, you know, we black folk are more loyal than a little bit. They still got a picture of Obama up there, like next to King, which you should take it down. He's no connection to King at all, and he is not an orator like King, like y'all say. Stop it. Stop lying. I don't know what. Just because somebody's black and they're wrong, and you're gonna go along with him just because he's black, that don't make any sense. I don't care if they're black and white. I'm condemning both presidents. They're both wrong, and I believe that not only are they the reason why we're in the mess we're in, the pastors surrounding them, supposed to be advising them, black and white, supporting them, and doing a wink, wink. All right, Mr. President, we can get embassy over there in Jerusalem. We'll just skip over the homosexual thing, and we'll Let you go ahead and have that, because I know you act like you don't want to offend your daughter, and shut that down. Instead of saying, Mr. President, we need for you to shut all of this and overturn all of this homosexual mess altogether. We don't want to try to do a little piecemeal here, and they can do what they want, and we, as long as you give us our freedom and all of that. No. Because, see, one day you're going to be dead, and they're going to run roughshod over the Christians. We will, if God does not destroy this country this go-around, we will have persecution in the streets, in churches, just like we were having almost down in Houston when President Trump was president. President Obama was president. The mayor of Houston, a homosexual, a lesbian. Are you kidding me? In Houston, Texas. First Baptist, Second Baptist, Third Baptist, Fourth Baptist, Fifth Baptist, Sixth Baptist, Seventh Baptist, Eighth Baptist, Ninth Baptist, Tenth Baptist, all around Houston. It's a Baptist church on every corner. This is the Bible Belt. And they're the buckle. This lesbian mayor gonna subpoena their sermons in America? Are you kidding me? Some of you have forgotten. We go into court because we won't, in our churches and in our schools, have bathrooms where males can go into a little girl's bathroom. Some have already been raped. And many have been scared to death. I'm a man. I'm a big old man. And if some transvestite came in there, a man looking like a woman, it would scare me. I said, whoa, what? Oh. Don't smile at me. But we have all settled down into this mess, the church and everybody have settled down in the suburb of Sodom and Gomorrah. Got a homosexual on every news station. Got a homosexual on every show. Homosexual jokes, and the people are bold enough. And I thought that Hollywood I thought they would never go this far. Got men kissing on men and all that mess. And you think God, as good as he's been to America, as good as he's been to you, so-called Christians, y'all living in houses you never lived in before in your life, in the history of your family, y'all living on Pork Chop Hill, up in the hill and to the right, got a corner lot, got two cars. God has blessed you. You got a bank account and got some money in it. Got your children in Christian school. And then you're made to take your little child, your little Christian children down to the library. And the monsters come out. Excuse me. I know you don't like it. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the transvestites who all of a sudden reading to the children at the library for a book reading hour. Looking like monsters. They scare me. I know they scare the children. You say, preacher, you ought not to say it. Why not? They're doing it. And see, this would have never happened if preachers have not been lulled into this mess because they want to be pastors, especially. They want to be accepted into the community. they want to be a big shot, you know, down in the city council, and, you know, we got to go through Pastor so-and-so, Dr. Do-Nothing, you know, and you want to be accepted, and see, the homosexuals have done a job on you people to the point that if you don't accept them now, shame on you. Shame on you. You the devil all of a sudden. And that's what's wrong in America. And that's why I'm asking true Christian preachers to stand up now. Because you see what's happening. You can say what you want. This is just a happenstance. It's just a circumstance. It's just a coincidence. It's just our circumstances. This is the consequence, my dear friend, of weak, no good, lost, sorry pastors and evangelists and prophets, so-called, and bishops who let this happen. And we have offended God. And all of you preachers who are saved, and you know the Bible, you know what's going on, and you still won't say anything. Because you don't want to be seen as a kook. Because the news media is going to say, listen to this kook pastor right here. He's saying that God is judging us because the transvestites are reading to the little children and molesting the little children down at the library. We're living. This is Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm just bouncing from the text. And that the whole land thereof is brimstone and salt and burning, that it is not sown nor beareth, nor any grass groweth therein. My God, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah. This is a heavier judgment against America than all of the warnings that God's been sending for the past 10 years that you have blamed on climate change. Like God is not in control of his world. All the fires in California, burning up the vineyards. This is what God did to the Israelites. Did you not know that? You know why you don't know that? Because you don't read your Bible. When God wanted to punish the Israelites sometime, he'll burn up their vineyards. He's going to attack those vineyards. Because vineyards represent celebration. Some of you are hurting right now because you can't get what you want to get at your grocery store that you love so much. It's going to get worse than this if we don't repent. Wholesale repentance, for real repentance across the church. White, black, red, and yellow. There won't be any, you know, the romaine lettuce you love, organic, all that. It's not going to be any of that. If God goes deeper into this, we face the abyss, people. I know it sounds crazy. I know. But you never thought that God would allow this, did you? Yeah, let me tell you a little bit about crazy. What sounds crazy? You in the house and you can't go out. Americans fighting over toilet paper? Not Black Friday devices and television sets, but toilet paper? You can't get toilet paper at the grocery store? You, proud American, got to stand in front of the grocery store in line early in the morning to make sure you get some toilet paper. You want to talk about crazy? Now, I have not lost my mind. I'm not mad, most noble Festus. But you may have lost yours. I'm speaking words of truth and soberness. Admah and Zeboim, which the Lord overthrew in his anger and in his wrath. Folks, you know what God is saying to some of you right now? Can you hear me now? That's what God is saying to some of you, if not all of us right now. Can you hear me now? Do I have your attention? You crazy people. I done bless you with this. I bless you with that. I bless you more than any country in the world, in the history of the world, except for my chosen people, Israel. And you're going to do me like this? My New Testament church, you're going to use my church? And marry two men up in my church? Have you lost your righteous mind? You're going to have two lesbians as pastors in my church? Two men, homosexuals, as pastors in my church? You're going to let members in your building and become members of your church? Because it's not mine, because I don't have any homosexuals as members of my church. That's not, you know, that's not possible. I can't do that. Dr. David Guzik said, God's purpose in bringing judgment against a covenant-breaking Israel was also for the sake of the coming generations of your children. And the foreigners. We can also learn from the calamity that comes on the lives of others when they break God's covenant. We have broken God's word. We have disobeyed God's word. And I don't know why you think that God and Jesus will not chastise you. Now, you know he will. See, listen to me. Preachers like Dr. Tony Evans, preachers like Dr. T.D. Jakes, they know what's going on. That's why they keep on, they're still preaching. They're trying to help you. God has his remnant. You may not think they're part of the remnant. You may not think that God has, that they're part of the 7,000 that God preserves. It doesn't matter. God knows his own. And the true preachers will continue to preach. Money or no money. Crowd or no crowd. So we can learn, Danae, that the price of disobedience is not worth it. This is the lesson that God wants us to learn from Israel and what he's doing right now. And all, and you know why Dr. Tony Evans knows about it? You know why Dr. T.D. Jakes knows about it? Because they've been chastised by God themselves. You see, you're not going to be faithful like that unless you done been to the woodshed with God personally. Because God can show you better than he can tell you. Oh, yes, he can. All the faithful preachers, all the faithful saints, they know what's going on because this has happened to them personally. God has chastised them personally. And they came out on the other side thinking right, acting right, and doing right. And there's something they're just not going to do anymore. You know why? Because God will teach you how to fear him. God will teach you how to respect him. And there's just some things that a child of God who's born again and saved is going to say after being whipped by God real good. No, I can't do that. Whatever, however you want to feel about me, fine, I can't do that, sorry. In fact, I'm not sorry. Because I know my God, and He's not going to let me do that. Dr. T.D. Jakes at one time, preaching a series on chastisement, he said, I bet you I won't do that again. Whatever it is, whatever it was, God to teach you, I bet you I won't do that again. No, not me. And so those of us who have responded well to His chastisement and we're living holy lives by the grace of God, not being perfect. Others who just take the chastisement and be lying, talking about it's tribulation, pray for me, it's testing, pray for me. It's just a little trouble in my life. The devil is attacking me, pray for me. No. It's God whipping you behind because you're evil as hell. And that's what God is doing right now to many people in the church. So we can learn that the commands of God are good and protective. God is not trying to steal your happiness and your joy. He's trying to protect you from yourself. And that's what all of this is about. We're getting ready to discomplete. See, what comes after homosexuality, you already see it happening. Polyamory, that's going to be a mess. Polygamy, the great state of Utah has gone back to the old ways and said, we're going to allow polygamy now. Why not? We're allowing homosexual marriage, a man marrying a man. What's next? I'll tell you what's next. You're going to have a lady say, well, a man can marry a man. I can marry my dog. Bestiality is what they call it. I'm going to marry my parrot. I'm going to marry my horse. And he's going to be my husband. With a straight face. And double dog dare you to deny him. When the judge says, I see that we can't do that, man, because that's unnatural. Well, it's unnatural for a man to marry a man. So what? See, so God, because He loves us, has to step in and save us from ourselves. And some people say, well, I think these are just the last days, and this is leading up to this and that and so on. Listen, my beloved, you're not even rapture ready. None of us. I'm talking about the rapture, what are you talking about? Most of us are not even rapture ready. Only the remnant, the 7,000. You don't need to worry about the rapture right now. God is trying to save you from yourself so that you can save others. That may not line up with your theology that you learn at seminary or at the cemetery. But I doubt very seriously if this is about that. Yes, it is another sign of it, of course, pestilence. So God's purpose in bringing judgment against a covenant-breaking Israel, a covenant-breaking people, was also for the sake of all nations. When they see what happens to a nation who forsakes the Lord, they will be warned to obedience themselves. That's how it's supposed to work. But you know, most people don't take heed to the punishment of others. Most people don't learn obedience until it hits them. And right now, this has not even sunk into people yet. But you let this last all the way to the end of the year like it could, it's going to start hitting home. And do not think America has endless money. We don't. Dr. Jerry Bridges said, God's wrath is his justice in action, rendering to everyone his just due, which because of our sin is always judgment. Well, here are a few striking news stories about the plague. According to the Daily Mail, Dr. Anthony Fauci, who's doing, I think, a great job, says the United States could experience more than 100,000 to 200,000 deaths, not cases, deaths, dead people, and millions of infections from the coronavirus. And I believe that if the church does not repent, pastors leading the way across the nation, if we don't pray and seek God's face and turn from our wicked ways and humble ourselves and get back to our first love right quick and in a hurry, and if the president does not follow sound advice and close down this nation for at least 30 days, but I think it's going to be longer than that, I believe that we're going to see 1 to 2 million people die in this country, and many will be from the church. According to NPR, the number of coronavirus deaths in America has doubled from 1,000 fatalities over the course of a month to more than 2,000 in just 2 days. According to the Guardian of Great Britain, Spain's coronavirus death toll has overtaken China's death toll. That's what they say. But many people believe that China's death toll is in the millions, climbing to 3,434 after another 738 people died over 24 hours. Now regarding homeschooling, Proverbs 22 verse 6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." You really can't train up your child by letting other devilish people raise your children with 30 other people, children, who may have a demon. I want you to notice what Dr. James Emery White said, no relation. And I want you to take notice of this, and I want you to really think about it. He said, homeschooling allows for controlled socialization. Now, I didn't know this when I told my wife we were going to homeschool our children from day one. All of our children were homeschooled. I didn't know about all of this, but it was one of the greatest things that I ever did for my children. Controlled socialization with peers. He said, "I find it almost amusing that people use socialization as a baseball bat against homeschooling. So let me get this straight. Sending your child away at the earliest of ages to be with 25 to 30 other kids and one adult for the bulk of every day and every week away from the home, away from the family, is normal socialization in light of the history of civilization? The truth is that homeschooling fosters positive socializing by letting you, the parent, control the friends your child has. Because you know, there's some devilish friends out there. We had some in our schools, didn't we? Cruel, hateful, that can scar your child for life. And beat up your child as well. As opposed to whoever or whatever is most popular. It lets you establish respect for authority and the appropriate way to interact with others. That's one of the greatest blessings of homeschooling. Is it easy? No. Is it tough sometimes? Yes. And one of the tough things is you can see a lot of you or your spouse in your children, and you don't like it. And you know you have to exercise chastisement, rebuke, and patience in dealing with it. But still, it is better because you know your child better than anybody. And so you know some of the things that will pop up in their lives, and it's best to deal with that stuff at home. And let me just add this to what he said. Along with that, particularly today with the internet, the world is at your fingertips. You don't need to put your child into no public school system, and you don't know what people are doing to your child. Then you want to kill somebody if somebody touched your child or hurt your child's feelings, just so that you can be free and footloose and fancy free to do whatever you want to do. That's what this is about in America. That's what school is about. Dumping your children on other people so that you can be footloose and fancy free and be single again. Let somebody else take care of your child. But the thing about it is that what I did with my children is I did several things. Number one, and I'm sharing some of these things with you all now. Number one, they had to work in the family business. Now, what is going to happen with that? All the character flaws that are embedded in your children's lives, they're going to come out. Not all at once, not all together. What you're going to find is you're going to find two or three, they have great character. You're going to have one or two who are going to be devils in their character. They're going to lie about the peanut butter they stole, and the peanut butter is still in their hands. And you have to deal with that. In other words, what I'm saying is, my dear friends, you are going to see the ugly character flaws in your children. You're also going to know about them because some of them come down the pipe from your ancestors and you. Especially your wife's ancestors and her. So, it's a wonderful way to raise your children. It's not easy. It's not pretty sometimes. But if you're willing to do your job and love your children enough to help them with it by chastising them and rebuking them and monitoring what they do and so forth, you're not only going to make sure they're educated, but you're going to make sure that they have the character to do what they know they're supposed to do, which is very important. and which they can lie about if they out there at a school somewhere. So in closing, again, ladies and gentlemen, if you are with us tonight and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you need to do that. Allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in Him for your salvation from sin and hell. First, dear friend, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. We all have. We've all done evil in God's sight. And I'm sharing this with you very clearly, taking my time, because some of you are going to die in this plague. I'm not saying you deserve to. See, when there's a plague of this magnitude, a whole lot of folk are going to die. People who may not have contributed to the sin and evil of our nation. Black folks are dying, white folks are dying, red folks are dying, yellow folks are dying, church folks are dying. People who are agnostics or atheists are dying as I speak. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all have done evil in God's sight. We all have failed God. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. There's a punishment for sin always, for the Bible makes it very clear. In Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Our bodies go to a grave. Some bodies are being held in refrigerated trucks. People are dying so fast in New York City and across New York and around the globe. So many died in Italy, they had to take the bodies to an ice rink and set the bodies on the ice. The army has to come and pick up, not a funeral home director. The army has to come and pick them up in big old trucks. So many people are dying tonight. So you need to understand, if you have never trusted Christ as Savior in your life, you need to accept the fact that you are on the road to hell as I speak. If you have never believed on Christ before, when you die, even of the coronavirus, you will go to hell. And I know that there are many Christians who don't like for me to say that, but that's the reality. However, you don't have to go to hell. Simply believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, but you need to understand the meek and lowly, compassionate, loving Jesus Christ was a hellfire and brimstone preacher. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Why? Because he hates us? No, but because he loves us. In Matthew 18:8, wherefore if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. Hell is a very real place. If you live in sin down here and you don't trust Christ as Savior, before you leave here, you're going to the lake of fire. You're going to hell fire to burn and to be tormented and to suffer forever and ever, and there will not be any second chances. God hates sin very much. Also, the Bible says in Revelation 21:8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. I have to be very straight with you, as I always am, and very blunt, because you don't have much longer to live. Millions may die in this country. This plague may last for 2 or 3 years. It may be a plague designed to wipe out the whole nation. The greatest doctors are saying they have never seen anything like it before. One doctor said today, this is not the flu. Stop lying to people, telling people this is the flu. The flu does not operate like this. The lake of fire, which is the second death, you don't want to be a part of that. So believe, I plead with you, my dear friends, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. I don't care how you feel or what you think. By faith, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and get your soul saved from hell, the hell to come. So hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you. I have some good news for you. What I just did, by the way, take a sip of water, you will not be able to do in hell. Have you ever heard of Mr. Dives? The rich man who went to hell. Once he got to hell, he said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus down here, who I mistreated, and just dip his finger in water to cool my tongue. He didn't want a glass of water like I have before me. He didn't want a sip of water from a faucet. He just wanted a damp finger to cool his tongue. You will burn so bad in hell continuously that your tongue will be parched and you'll be thirsty forever. My dear friends, trust Christ as Savior. Now, wait a minute. This is the same Jesus who said, for God so loved the world, which I'm sharing with you right now, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He was talking about himself, Jesus Christ. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, that is, perish in hell, but have everlasting life, that is, everlasting life in heaven. And all you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him as your Savior. This is why Jesus preached on hell so hot and heavy. Because he understood that if you don't accept his sacrifice for you, if you don't believe that he is the sacrificial Lamb of God who died for your sins, suffered, bled and died for your sins, was buried and rose on the third day, you will never get saved. You will never go to heaven. You will have to go to hell and spend eternity in hell. Jesus loved you so much, he came and died for you, even though he never committed a sin in his life. He paid your sin debt. so that you would not go to hell. All you have to do is believe on him and pray and ask him to come into your heart to save, to get your soul saved today. And he will save you. For Romans 10, 9 and 13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. That's what we're talking about, people, ultimately. Yes, God can and will do some wonderful things in your life while you're living here. But ultimately, he did this to save you from hell, so that you can go to heaven and be with them. God, Jesus, the angels. And basically, if you will, for you, start all over. Have a relationship with God as it should be. So, dear friend, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, right now in your heart, you might be on your deathbed right now. You believe in your heart he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. Trust him as your Savior. Pray and ask him to save you, and he will save you. Follow me in what we call the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me and pray right now, believing in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who took your sins far, far away. He paid your sin debt, and all you have to do is believe on him, trust in him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou you shalt be saved, the Bible says. Let's pray. Repeat after me and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments, for I have lied before. I've stolen things before. I've lusted after people and things before. I have dishonored and disobeyed my parents. I have taken your holy name in vain. And as you know, Holy Father God, I've committed many other sins. And I understand that I deserve to go to hell because of my sins. For Jesus Christ's sake, your holy Son, please have mercy and grace upon me and save my soul from hell, as I now believe with all of my heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for my sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past. And help me to turn from my old life and to follow you in the new life, Lord Jesus. For it is in your name I pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day, early one Sunday morning, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com, that's our evangelistic site, and read my pamphlet, my article, titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. Jesus Christ is the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Now, dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior tonight, please email that to me and let me know at dw3@gospellightsociety.com, and we will send you some free material to help you grow in the faith. Also, if you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good. Lord willing, if the Lord tarries his coming and we live in this plague, the days of the plague, we'll be back here tomorrow evening sometime. We'll be glad to have you. God bless you. Until next time.